I can't stay in the sangha anymore.
Sharani Nidhi continued.
What should I think? I should think, I did this. Whether these people are doing this to me or not, it may be my imagination, it may be fact, I really can't say, because I do have imperfect senses. My senses are so imperfect that if I try to see you through this very, very thin piece of paper, I can't. And how many times have my ears cheated me? Yesterday, Rangadevi and or Rangadevi Radha and Vasanti came in the room, and I was at the other end of the room, and I just heard voices, and I thought, oh, Govinda Dasi came, great. Oh no, she wasn't her. So how many times all during every day are our senses cheating us? And is our mind cheating us? I think somebody did something bad, and I really start meditating on it. In fact, I tell everybody that they did something bad, and then a week later I'm embarrassed by finding out they didn't do it at all. And actually I was the one that did something bad. So how do I think? How should I think? That I did something, I did these things in the past, and I hurt so many people, and now I'm experiencing what it's like to be hurt by that. So Krishna's teaching me, don't do that, it's not nice. Prabhupada once said, if I feel, or if it's a fact, that someone is criticizing me, either in front or behind my back, then what should I think? Now, why would that person do that? I'm trying to become Krishna conscious. Oh, I know I have some impurity, and Krishna himself is trying to rectify me. Or Gurudev or Prabhupada is trying to rectify me. Even if Krishna doesn't want to take the time, at least my Gurudev and Prabhupada are taking the time. They're more merciful than Krishna, because he's so busy with his cows and coward boys that he might not want to take the time. He's already absorbed. But his condensed mercy, Krishna's condensed mercy, has taken the shape of my guru, and he's taking the time. In fact, in 1997, I think it was, when Pushpadanta Prabhu invited Gurudev, oh no, that was when he was first meeting him. He came to Aragon, and Pushpadanta Prabhu was came to one of his darshans. He asked Gurudev, now you have so many followers, how can I get close to you? There's so many of them. How can I feel, you know, a strong, intimate bond? And Gurudev said, when Krishna was out having lunch with the coward boys, each coward boy thought, I think Prem Purojan Prabhu mentioned this last night, each coward boy thought that he was directly, and he was, it wasn't just a mental speculation, adjustment to make himself happy, but he actually was directly right in front of Krishna sharing the prasadam. He would give it to Krishna and Krishna would give it to him. Even though there were billions upon billions upon billions of coward boys and rows of coward boys, each one had that direct relationship. Similarly, in the service, say, of the Manjaris decorating Srimati Radhika, Lalita, Vishaka are all up front, Rupa Manjaris up front, and she has billions and trillions and zillions and gillions of Manjaris, so where am I? What's the use of praying that, oh, may I put the tilak on you, which acts like a controlling force to control Krishna, or when will I put the earrings on you, which makes Krishna spin around and not realize who he is? So what's the use of doing that if, you know, if I'm way back in the millions, behind all the millions? But no, everybody feels that they're up front, even when they're just assisting. So, why did I say that? Huh?
You're talking about Pushpadanta.
Right, so what did that have to do with? Right, so many devotees, but what did it have to do with? And yeah, no one can
control him.
Yeah, no one can control Guru. He's directly, in fact, in 1996, yeah, he's so close with us, so intimate. In fact, in Murlambar, he said, the Guru is more intimate than your own Atma. He's closer to you than your own Atma. So when Gurudev's coming, and there's so many devotees, and he's coming up to offer his obeisances to the deities and Guru Parampara, what do we think? Oh, what, I'm all the way back in this, back behind everybody? No. Oh, my heart, my Atma has just come in the room. So there's no separation at any time between Guru and disciple, just as there's no separation, Gurudev said, between fire and its heat, or water and its wetness. That's how close we are. So in Holland, in Gurudev's first world tour there, Gurudev said, why do you go to astrologers? You don't need astrologers. Just come to me. I can simply look at your forehead and tell you 10,000 births past and 10,000 births future. So a person like that, how can he be cheated, even if somebody wants to cheat him? What do I have to worry about that somebody influenced Gurudev against me? How can I ever be worried about that? Rather, I should know that he knows all of my horrible things, but I'm his little newborn, drooling, passing baby, and he loves me, and he's trying to bring me up to grow up. When you saw the very nice play the other night, Sanda and Amarka are trying to persuade or, what's that word? Deprogram? Prahlad. Yeah, indoctrinate and deprogram Prahlad. And make him want to be a demon. So he said, who is this enemy? What enemy has told you all these ridiculous things to put you in the camp of our big enemy, Vishnu? You've become just like a handle in the axe that's trying to cut down the forest of sandalwood trees of us demons. So what did Prahlad say? He said, wow, I'm really amazed. I heard about these things, friends and enemies, but I didn't know that it really existed. I thought it was some theory. Now I see that it really exists, and it's really amazing that anybody can consider anybody to be his friend and anybody to be his enemy. And then Prabhupada gave a very long purport of that there in the seventh canto, and he said that a devotee thinks, I was reading this out loud in the class because it was Lord Nrisimhadev's appearance day. So I was reading this out loud. And you know how sometimes when you read, you skip a line and go to the next line? So I thought I had skipped a line because I read that the devotee thinks that all living entities are his prabhus. I thought, no way. He thinks that all other devotees are his prabhus. And it did say that on one line, but I didn't skip a line. He considers all living entities as his prabhus. He offers respects to all the parts and parcels of Krishna. So this conception of friend and enemies, our Prabhupada said, this is called politics. What is politics? This is my friend and this is my enemy. And he said, everyone is looking for a friend and an enemy. But who is my friend? Is Abhiram my friend or my enemy? What does he say about me when I'm not there? And, oh, is Radha my friend or is she my enemy? Do I have to protect myself against her by talking bad about her so that if she says something bad about me, nobody's going to listen to her? Or not? So Prabhupada said, everybody is looking for who is my friend and who is my enemy. But you don't know that they're both sitting within you. Who is that sitting within you? Your mind. As Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, The mind is the best friend and the worst enemy of the conditioned soul. So, but it's really been bad. You don't realize how badly I've been treated. For nothing. So what does Gurudev say about that? And what should I remember? His lecture in Badger when he was talking about the Avanti Brahmana, who, when he took the renounced order of life, he went back to his old village with his begging bowl. And what did the villagers do? They grabbed his begging bowl, passed stool and urine on it, threw ashes, dirt on his head, abused him, pushed him. And what did he do? He was happy. Because he knew that if anything's coming to me, it's coming from my past. What about those who, there's no past sinful actions, like Prahlad Maharaj or Draupadi? They know, just like Anyabilasita Sita Ness, the Ness of not having any desires, one who's has desirelessness. But even in those times of danger, it's not that anusilanam stops, because anusilanam means it's like the honey coming from the jar and it's unbroken. It's not that it's broken when there's some danger. When there's a snake and Radharani becomes afraid, and she, not a snake, say, because then she runs into the arms of Krishna, but when, suppose there's, who is that demon who kidnapped them? Sakatasura. Sankachuta, thank you. He kidnapped the gopis, and he was pushing them with a big tree trunk, just like somebody herds goats. And he put Radharani on his shoulder, and she was calling out, "Oh Krishna," the gopis were calling out, "Krishna, save us, save us." Why? Because boys are macho, and they love to have girls say, "Please save me, save me." So it was so that Krishna could feel good. It's not that they calculate, "I want Krishna to feel good." It's just their nature that they want Krishna to feel good. So, and he did. Yes. In fact, Krishna himself might come as a snake just to make her afraid so that she'll have to take shelter of him. He goes to all lengths. He'll sit up on a tree all night and saying coo, coo, or some sounds just in at her house in Yava just to get her attention. And speaking of attention, when I first met Gurudev in 1992, one of the first things he ever said to me is that you're pursuing Krishna. You're searching for Krishna, but you don't know that if you become a maidservant of Radharani, Krishna will pursue you like this. So it starts here with this, how to become free from anger and resentment. In one lecture he said, if you want to become one with the heart of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and that sounds like a pretty high thing, then you should become free from criticism. Just like Ambarish Maharaj, when he was even attempted murder by Durvasa Muni, he blamed himself. He said, because of me, Durvasa is in this terrible predicament of running from the chakra. And he prayed to Sudarshan Chakra, if I've ever, I mean, all he ever did was service, right? Always engaging his senses. But yet he prayed, if I've ever done anything to please you, please take my pious credits and give them to Durvasa Muni and don't chase him anymore. And by that, by his Vaishnavata, Vaishnava behavior and mentality, he was able to transform the heart of Durvasa Muni, who ended up glorifying him. There was a, there were two friends, and at least one of them was a Brahmin, sage, and he was picking up a scorpion who was floundering and drowning in a lake or a river, and he picked him up, and a scorpion bit him and jumped off. Picked him up again, scorpion bit him again and jumped off. And he picked him up again, and his friend said, why do you keep doing that? So the sage said, this scorpion is my guru. He's teaching me such a good thing. He's teaching me. He's a scorpion, and he has a scorpion nature. If, in spite of the fact that I'm trying to help him, he does not give up his nature, so why should I, who am a Brahmin and a sage, give up my nature, even though he's biting me? King Parikit, Maharaj Parikit, taught us a very nice thing in this connection. When he was going around making sure everybody was okay in his kingdom, and he saw the bull, the cow, who was beaten on three legs, and she was just standing on one leg. She was beaten by Kali Yuga, who was taking away the bull. Thank you. Bull. Bull is the embodiment of religion. So religious principles are down to one and very quickly dwindling in Kali Yuga. So the bull was being beaten by Kali, who was in the dress of a Kshatriya. So King Parikit asked the bull, who has beaten you? And the bull replied that actually Krishna is the source of everything. So he's the source of this as well. Krishna is the source of time, and this is all under the jurisdiction of time. So then Parikit Maharaj glorified that bull, and he said, you are actually the emblem of religion, that you knew this. Because anybody who blames anybody else for anything, he's as wrong as the wrongdoer. And Prabhupada used a very nice word, perpetrator. One who blames and points his finger at the perpetrator of a wrongdoing, the destination for that person who points out the perpetrator is the same for the person who points out the perpetrator as the perpetrator. Why? Because he didn't recognize the Supreme Personality of Godhead as the source, as the cause, and therefore he's going to be doing sinful activities. What is mismanagement? Prabhupada said, mismanagement means that I don't understand that this thing belongs to Krishna and to Guru. Automatically I'll mismanage it. So if I don't see Krishna as behind everything, I'll automatically mismanage my life, and the same result that comes to the perpetrator comes to me. Also, we come to that bridge of consciousness. Yes. Louder? So she's asking, what does it mean, call a spade a spade? Means if somebody has a bad quality, I should say it. That's the natural and very good question. And that fits with the question of, if somebody's doing something that's hurting them, or hurting somebody else, should I not say anything? Well, there's a few replies to that, or there are many, and a couple of them are that one who is a Madhyama Adhikari, or one who wants to approach the Madhyama Adhikari platform, shares Krishna consciousness with his equals, so it may be an equal, and he preaches to those who are subordinate, and he gives mercy to those who are innocent. So, in a certain way, in a way that will protect myself, I have to be very careful about my wording. For example, Srila Prabhupada said, suppose somebody comes to me and says, do you know Guru Maharaj Ji? Of course, he's before a lot of your time. He was in the 60s. He was a bogey yogi who said that he was God, and he says, I'm Durga and I'm Krishna. And Prabhupada would say things about him like, I kick on his face. So anyway, so Prabhupada said, if somebody would come to me and say, do you know Guru Maharaj Ji? I would say, well, no. What is his philosophy? What does he say? And then they would say the bogus philosophy. And then I would defeat the bogus philosophy. Not do a, what do you call that, an ad hominem? Ad hominem means you're discussing two points, which point is right. And then I say, well, that person's an idiot or a demon anyway, so don't listen to what they say. It's called ad hominem, I think. So rather stick to the point. Don't talk about the person, but talk about the point. Or talk about, like, I have this fault. Somehow or other, protect yourself. Or suppose I have to tell somebody they're doing something wrong. Then, number one, after I tell them, first I have to tell them in a way that protects myself. That means with respect and appreciation, and then telling them in a way that they will feel encouraged to do it. And then after I tell them, to forget it. Like, don't think about that person did anything bad. Otherwise, even though I did it to try and help them, if I keep thinking of the thing, then it will definitely come to me. Even though I don't have any bad or ill motives, it will definitely come to me. If I can just say one thing then. One of my godbrothers, who was in charge of, at the time, in charge of the ISKCON institution, asked Gurudev that, you know, we hear from you that we're not supposed to criticize anybody, but sometimes for the benefit of the institution or even the benefit of the person, we have to say something, we have to discriminate. So how do we reconcile that? So Gurudev said, you have to be very careful, because if you start criticizing, your heart can become so hard that you can't discriminate who to say anything, who to say what about. He said, if you have priti, priti means love, not, well, I did it out of love. If you actually have priti, like Mother Yasoda said to Krishna, oh, I see you're stealing the butter and yogurt. May I beat you? May I beat you? He said, if you have priti, you can do that. Otherwise, your heart will become so hard, you will not understand what is an offense and what is not an offense. In Holland, he was talking also about something. One devotee left Gurudev's association. And previous to that, he'd been one of the greatest proponents of protecting Gurudev and Gurudev's philosophy from attackers. And he would go on the internet and attack the attackers. And he would attack very vehemently the attacker himself, not just the point. So this all came to Gurudev's attention. And in the aftermath, after that person left and became like a non-devotee, Gurudev said, if you're not very careful and you're criticizing, even if you criticize somebody that deserves to be criticized, or even if you criticize somebody who's criticizing your guru, he said, be very careful, because this mentality of criticizing starts coming in you, and then, because of the bridge of consciousness, you gradually lose all discrimination of who to criticize, then you yourself will criticize your guru, you yourself will criticize Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and you yourself will criticize Krishna. So it's one of the most dangerous things. Loud? Okay.
Can you speak a little louder?
Yes.
You mean steal things?
So then you become aware of it. And then what if another person who they're going to spend the night with is your friend? And they call you and say, oh, do you know so and so they're going to spend the night in my house? How do you feel about that? I don't know. Just asking. And you say, well, I have a little bit of bad experience.
So for those who didn't hear the question, what if somebody spends a night at your house, steals something and leaves, and then they're going to spend the day or night at somebody else's house, and the person doesn't know them, and they call you up and say, so-and-so wants to spend the night at my house, I don't know them, how do you feel about that? So should you not help the person whose house it was? Should you just be humble and think, well, I've stolen, so I've been stolen from? Yes, we should think, I've stolen, so I've been stolen from. At the same time, I can express it in a certain way that I'm not saying the person did anything, but something was gone from my house after the person left. So it's up to you what you want to do, and I'm not saying the person has any bad things, and whatever happens is my fault. So you can take it as you take the fault, but at the same time you reveal the circumstances. We have to protect ourselves. And then after the phone call, drop it. Because even if I'm right, it will all come to me. And I'll find myself stealing. Sarah? Oh, very, very good. So if you know something, you don't say it. Suppose I'm in very bad association. And I see all kinds of criminal activities, all kinds of immoral activities, all kinds of anti-bhakti activities in that association. So do I not say something? What do I do? The best thing to do is leave the association. And what does it mean to leave the association? Leave the association can mean a few things. It means leave the thoughts also. Sometimes if I'm in a physical association, if I can't leave the thoughts, then I should physically leave and leave the thoughts. Sometimes I leave the physical association, but I keep the thoughts with me. There was two friends, and they were crossing the river, and there was a lady who needed to cross the river. So one of them picked up the lady, took her across the river, and then put her down. And then a couple of hours later, his friend said, you know, I don't really think it was right that you carried that lady across the river. Even if she was desperate, even if there was no other alternative, I still don't think it was right that you, a renunciate, a Brahmin or a sage or brahmachari, whatever you are, carried the lady. So then his friend who carried the lady said, I carried the lady for 3 minutes and you carried the lady for 2 hours. So because you were thinking about it. To not associate means, suppose Gurudev said, don't associate with the opposite sex. Offer your obeisances from afar. So what does that mean? Does it mean that, like, he's at one end of the room and I'm at the other end of the room, and I see him and I go, Nama Om Vishnu Padaya, from afar? No, it means from afar means you don't think about the person. Or even a person who's offensive to my guru. Then from afar means don't think about it. Because as soon as I think about it, even though I'm right, even though it's not an offense to feel badly about that person, it doesn't matter if I'm right or wrong. It will come to me by the bridge of consciousness. So I leave an association that's unfavorable. I leave a society that's unfavorable. And then I don't think about it. I think positively about the positive personalities, so that I can advance.
If inside you have some resentment, or like inside you're criticizing, but externally you're not saying anything to anyone, then can those qualities still enter into your heart if you're not externalizing?
The question is, if you're internally criticizing but not externally criticizing, do the qualities enter your heart? And the answer is definitely. Therefore, Gurudev and Prabhupada have given us this last 3/4 of an hour of information to tell myself, to frighten myself out of doing it. Just like you know the example of the anger finger. Why do we keep this finger out of the bead bag? Because it's the anger finger. Don't you realize who I am? If you don't follow what I say, I'm going to break your leg. So that finger should be out of our beads. In other words, when I'm chanting, I shouldn't have any of these thoughts because immediately bhakti will go away, my holy name will go away. So therefore, we've been given all this food for thought to tell myself. And gradually, if I keep telling myself, then it will go away by practice. Abhyasa yoga jiktena. Yoga means practice. Anything, Prabhupada quoted one Bengali saying. He said, there's a Bengali saying that this body is so made that anything you practice, it will become easier. In fact, our tongue, the tongue is the most voracious and difficult to control. The tongue is the leading sense. If I can control my tongue and say something nice back, then that will gradually control my mind. Somebody says, you tell me that somebody just said something bad about me? Well, they should say it. In fact, they would horrify me because they don't realize what bad qualities I do have. I wish I was like that person. And then you start thinking of how this person could have good qualities. I wish I was like that person. I wish I had good qualities that this person exhibits. And then by practicing with the tongue can start wars. Look at Draupadi when she cracked a joke about Duryodhana making fun of him. That started the Mahabharata war. Look at Sita, who accused Lakshman of being lusty. It started the whole war with Ravana. Of course, we know this is pastime, but at the same time, it's to show us the example. This is a very high subject and a very complex subject. And there's so many ways to answer it. But if we remember the principles, then it helps. She's asking, things are done incorrectly, should not be revealed. I didn't say that. The thing can be revealed, and in a protective way, if I'm asked, like you said about the stealing. I'm not saying the person did it, but the thing was missing. And I know it was my fault, and you can judge, unless the person is your ward. Suppose there's something wrong going on in the temple and you're wondering whether to tell the authorities. So there's a way to do that and protect yourself. My senses and mind are telling me. It seems to me. And I could be wrong because I'm fraught with so many wrong things that I'm seeing wrong everywhere I go. Just like a person who has jaundice sees yellow. Everything looks yellow. So, can you tell me how to understand this? It seems that they're offering eggs on the altar. Really? Oh, in New York, you mean? Oh. It seems that they're offering eggs on the altar. If you're the authority, I'm telling it to you, and I could be wrong, but I'm offering that to you if you want to check it. And then you forget it. As soon as possible, tell. And another way to approach authority is, it might not have been eggs. It could have been, like sometimes Radharani makes prasadam for Krishna out of Radhakund, that she'll make a pastry that looks like an orange, or that looks like a tree. But it's not a tree, it's not an orange, it's just a pastry. So it could have been, you know, a wrong-shaped rasagula. An elongated rasagula. And I could have been wrong. So if I'm wrong about the thing, and I could be, then I would ask somebody who I respect in Krishna consciousness, can you please tell me how to understand this? And then they might not be the right person, because it might really be an egg. So, but I have to do the thing in such a way that I can protect myself, and at the same time protect the situation. But there may be bad. And then I have to dislodge myself from that association if it's really bad. Because if I'm in a sangha or society or family that's full of bad, I'm definitely going to think bad about it. So therefore, I'll become part of it. So therefore, I should disassociate myself from it. If I'm in a working for a company that's doing something bad, or where all the people are bad, but I make a living to serve Gurudev, that I can go to Kartik, and I can't figure out how to get a job that pays like that, I might ask Gurudev himself, what should I do? Should I stay there? Am I strong enough to stay there without getting infected, or should I just leave? And it may be just my imagination that I really had to be there. Because I'm attached to bad sangha, or I don't want bhakti, or I don't care about bhakti. So I can ask Gurudev. He's very available by phone, by email. And Gurudev does really read his letters. I've seen it and heard it many times. Gurudev really does get his letters for anybody who doubts. And he really does hear them, and he really does answer them of his own accord. What I would have done in that case, besides doing that, is I would have, and if the temple management didn't appreciate or didn't care, I'll tell you what Prabhupada said to do in that matter. Because in that matter, what Prabhupada said, there's a hierarchy. If you don't get satisfaction from one, go to the next, go to the next. And if nobody gives you satisfaction, come to me. And it did go to Prabhupada, and Prabhupada did make a revolution. Yes, Prajendranandha Prabhu?
Well, I did that whole thing. I was out of the sanctuary, but I came back and I heard the whole thing that was going on. And Prabhupada had a conversation with very, very good attention. Very good attention.
You speak louder.
The sanctuary brothers were just coming back and said, they are innocent. They didn't know any better. If you knew better, then you should have said something.
Definitely. And then if Prabhupada didn't want to do anything about it, that's his prerogative. Like, there was one exchange of letters where devotees were complaining about some temple president who wasn't doing his rounds and he wasn't nice, and Prabhupada said, tolerate it for now. But at least it went to him, and then whatever we do under his direction, or just like the Gurukula incident, we know that Prabhupada knew everything that was going on in the Gurukulas. Because the Shastras say he's Trikalagya and he's Sarvagya. If the children who are being abused are praying, Prabhupada, please save me, please get me out of this. Or when those children are offering their bhoga, in those days we didn't know the right bhoga offering prayer, so we'd say Namah Vishnu Padaya. Is Prabhupada not hearing it at the other end? Guru is in our heart, more intimate than our own Atma. He's knowing everything we do. He says that, suppose you come to me and I say, how are you? I haven't seen you in a while. And you come to me and I say, how are you? And you say, oh, fine. No problem? No problem. He's not telling me, Gurudev is saying, he's not telling me that he has a girlfriend and he's engaged in all kinds of lusty activities. So what will happen? Guru knows. But what will happen to the devotee, the disciple, is that that problem will go in like a needle and come out like an atom bomb and destroy his whole bhakti. When Parvati lied to her guru, Lord Shiva, first she didn't believe him, and then the second thing is she lied to him. Gurudev said, of course she's pure, but she's showing us that your whole devotion is destroyed if you lie to or hide from Sri Guru. So then if you want to do whatever you want to do is fine. But it's our duty to tell what we think. Well, it's funny that you say there's no time to say that in front of him, because I heard somebody just say it 2 days ago. Where there's a will, there's a way. You say you never get to talk to him, but where there's a will, there's a way. If there are so many impediments to talk to him, there are so many powerful people that you can pray to. For example, Vrinda Devi, Govardhan, Gopi Swara Mahadev, Yogamaya, Jamuna, anybody. There are other powerful people that can help you, like Brajanatha Madhav Maharaj. If somehow or other it doesn't happen, then you can pray to still more powerful people. Or you can pray to Gurudev himself, you can pray to Prabhupada. You can make it, but also he will arrange that you can make it in front of him. Gurudev once said in Marillenbar at a Vyasa Puja lecture that if you're willing to say it in your heart, but you're not willing to say it in front of him, that means you don't really believe that he's in your heart. Chiranjeev Prabhu is making a good statement in his humility that suppose everything's not okay, or I feel that everything's not okay in my life, but when I come in front of Gurudev, everything becomes okay. And that's why I worked so hard to come in front of him and have him glance over me so that everything becomes okay. So that's very good that you have such intimacy that just by his glancing, everything becomes okay. He once told one devotee in Badger that if you try to hide in the back, because things aren't okay, and you won't come in front and get the direct eye contact for Guru to work on you, then you're not helping yourself. But he said you have to be willing to be an empty flute that the Guru can breathe his breath into you. So because Chiranjeev Prabhu is like that, he comes with all of his, whatever he doesn't like about himself, he comes in front of Gurudev's and he allows himself to get that power. In fact, Gurudev said to one other devotee in Vrindavan, Mathura, who was sitting way, way off on the side. And this devotee was a very good Siddhanta knower and preacher, class giver. And he was sitting way off on the side. And Gurudev said, if you want to be Guru, sit way off on the side. If you want to get the mercy of Guru, sit right in front of me so I can do things to you by my glance. So I think we're over time now, and we didn't even touch the second half of the class, which is how to give in class to preach. So what I'd like to do, since this is my last morning, I would like to give a class this afternoon. Can I have a sentence?
How about Friday?
What?
How about Friday?
Why not today? What's happening today?
Just don't think it's good for people, things. I don't think it's good for you to speak twice in one day.
Okay, Friday at 3 o'clock, we'll do just that. Because each one is a class in itself. Is that all right for you, Friday afternoon at 3?
Yeah.
Okay. What? How can we stop looking at others' faults? Hear a tape of this class. I once told Gurudev, This is about 10 years ago. I said, you know, Gurudev, it seems that I spend half my time criticizing others, finding fault in others. And I spend the second half of my time worrying that others are judging and criticizing me. So half my time is in judging, and the other half of my time is worrying about others judging me. What should I do? So Gurudev said, you should have no time for that, because you should be so busy judging yourself through, not just judging yourself, but that could just be mental life, or just guilt, which in the name of Krishna consciousness is actually just mundane guilt, which is another kind of sense gratificatory absorption of myself. He said you should have no time, because you should be so busy in judging yourself through the songs of the acharyas, and always praying to be free from all obstacles. And the songs of the acharyas are on many, many levels. One is dainya, or saying how low I am, please get me out of it. Then more is praying for taste in the holy name, taste in satsanga. And then another kind of song is praying for the symptoms on the body of the pure sentiments that go on in the mind by advancement. And then ultimately praying for direct service to Radha and Krishna. Once in Kent, England, Gurudev came in at the end of his morning walk, and he sat down on the couch, and he said, if you simply chant Hare Krishna, you'll be full of all material desires. Surprise. He said, so, therefore we have our bhajans given by our acharyas, which are in the I word, in the first person singular, so that gradually we can change our desires, so that when we chant Hare Krishna, we have all good desires, and that chanting the Hare Krishna will fulfill that. I never heard that. But I'll certainly, definitely get his. Even if I allow somebody to touch my feet, Gurudev said, I'll get his qualities if he has bad qualities. And he'll get any of my good qualities. Mahalakshmi?
In regard to this topic on criticizing, one notice for myself that I have so many patterns of behavior, you know, according to how we've been brought up, how we were raised as children. So I've seen that the tendency to sometimes think about someone's bad habits. So I decided that instead of letting myself go on continually listening to the mind, I want to change my pattern. So whenever I see my mind start in on somebody, I just say, that person is beautiful. And I just try to make a discipline that whenever something comes to my mind that could be seen as criticizing someone, that person is beautiful. And I try to think of ways, reasons, they're beautiful. And anybody in Gurudev's Sangha, I mean, how can we argue that they're not beautiful because they're here trying? Mm-hmm. So in that way, I try to change my pattern.
Can you talk where the three verses are found?
Rupa Manjari Didi is asking, where are those three verses found? Tatenu Kampam, as quoted last night by Prem Priyojana Prabhu, the Tatenu Kampam is in Lord Brahma's prayers to Krishna after trying to steal his calves and cow voice. In chapter 14 of 10th canto, it's called Brahma's Prayers. And Duke Shvanu Vigna Mana, one should be not disturbed in spite of the threefold miseries. That's 256 Bhagavad Gita. And Trinada Pisuniche Na is the Mahaprabhu's Shikshastakam. So we'll end here, and Friday afternoon at 3 we'll have just the class And then I'll call on a few people to say verses like Abhiram, who's learned.